Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for being a part of our online service here today. Now, the Ontario government made some decisions this week, and the basic decision was is that no changes are going to be made over the next 4 weeks on openings of things within Ontario. And so it looks like the way that things are right now will remain for the next number of weeks. One significant change that took place a couple weeks ago is that we have started regular services here in the building on Sunday mornings. And if you would like to be a part of that, you can pre-register for that by going to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. And if you pre-register for that, then you can come to our service on a Sunday morning. There is limited space, so if you're interested, please try to get registered as quickly as you possibly can. Another change that's taking place is some youth ministry is kicking off here at Calendar Bay Church, joining together with our sister church at South Shore, and they've got a youth ministry event that's taking place this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, September the 16th, 6:30 p.m., and it is a barbecue, and you are invited. It's for junior and senior youth, and so just to come and join in on that. So if you are interested in attending that, please make sure that you pre-register for that by calling the church or emailing the church. We also have small groups that are going to be kicking off in the next number of weeks. And so if you are interested in small groups, please contact me at the church, and I would love to be able to help get you connected into one. We do have some restrictions of how many can attend because they're in people's homes. And so please contact me, and I'll get you some more information. Right now we have two groups, but hopefully we'll be getting some others running as well. We have our prayer meeting here on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, and you can pre-register for that again by calling us here at the church, and we would love to have you join us for a time of prayer Monday night, 7 o'clock, here at the church. Thank you so much for everyone who has been giving and continues to give to the ministry of Calendar Bay Church, and there's a couple ways that you can do that. Number one is by going online, and you can safely and securely give by going to calendarbaychurch.ca and go to the About tab, click on there, and it'll say ways that you can give, and you can click on that, and it will help you set that up, and you can give to the ministry of Calendar Bay Church. The other way is by mailing your gift to us. Please do not send cash in the mail, but you can send it to us by mailing it to our address, which is Box 218-888, Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, and the postal code is P0H1H0. We've also been doing some other things to keep people connected, and if you would appreciate more opportunity to kind of connect with people, you can either do it through our daily email, which we send out 6 days a week, called the Daily Encouragement, just to give you some encouraging things to help you on your spiritual journey, or most of those things are posted on our Facebook group page, and so you can go to that and also join in the interaction there. We also have our prayer chain fully functional, and if you are interested in being a part of that, you can email prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca, and so you can either join that way, or you can send a prayer request, and it will be sent out to those that are on the prayer chain, and they will pray for your needs. Now, we also want to continue and sing this morning and worship the Lord. This is a song of invitation, of inviting the Holy Spirit to minister in our lives. And so as you're sitting in your home watching the video, let's make this our prayer that the Holy Spirit is welcome here in us to be able to minister today.
Your glory, God, is what our heart your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and our minds as we look into God's Word today. Well, we are continuing on a series of messages I've called Helping You Navigate Life. Now, I know, I told you last week that we were going to wrap that series up, but I had another idea kind of come to my mind and thought it was important to talk about. Now, what we've been doing over the last number of weeks is looking at society and some of the very complex issues that we are dealing with right now. Life is not easy to navigate. And so we want to take a look at what does God's Word say, because it provides us principles on how to be able to navigate life. Whatever it is we are running into, God's Word will give us guidance. And so today we want to talk about an issue that I have to say, I'm not sure if I have ever heard a sermon directly on the topic. Now, I'm not saying that to say, yay, I'm great or anything like that. Just a topic that I don't think a lot of people talk about. And the topic is sleep and the significance of sleep from a godly perspective. And part of the reason why I want to talk about it is because it's a big issue in our society. I retrieved some information from our government website. Now, this is from Canada.ca, which is run by the federal government. And so it has a whole piece talking about sleep issues. And it gives the information of how much sleep we need to get. And it says that if you are an average 18 to 64 year old, you should have 7 to 9 hours of sleep. If you're over 65, you should have 7 to 8. So, but still, pretty much around the same point, 7 to 9 hours is what we're supposed to get. Now, I think the reason why it's not for 18-year-olds or below 18 is because teenagers usually don't have a problem getting the extra sleep they need. But here's where it gets really interesting. Are Canadian adults getting enough sleep? Well, 1 in 4, which is 25% of the Canadian population between 18 and 34, are not getting enough sleep. Jumps even higher for the age group 35 to 64. That age group is 1 in 3 is not getting enough sleep. And then as we get older, then it jumps back down to 25% or 1 in 4 are not getting enough sleep. Now, where it starts to get, I would have thought that maybe the averages would be a little bit higher, but this is where the issue starts to really hit. Are Canadian adults getting enough sleep? Talk about sleep quality. Adults who have trouble falling asleep, 1 in 50% of the population have a hard time falling asleep. Now, probably on the other side, maybe the other 50 are they have a hard time staying asleep, because I've had this issue where I can fall asleep very easily, but sometimes things will wake me up. 1 in 5 adults don't find their sleep refreshing. So they go to bed, but they wake up in the morning and they're just not refreshed at all. 1 in 3 adults have difficulty staying awake throughout the day. So they have a hard time, have to have a nap or whatever. So 1 in 3 have a hard time staying awake. Number of factors goes into some of the factors of why we're having a hard time sleeping. And a number of the reasons are, one is that there's more sedentary time, which means that we're not as active as we used to be. And, you know, when it used to be you were on the farm, you were active, you were doing activities. But now, as we've become a more urban society and our jobs are sitting at computers, even when with schooling right now, we're sitting at desks, and so we're not doing as much activity as we used to, and so that's having a repercussion. Because we're not active, then we have a harder time falling asleep. Two others are mental health related, poor mental health and chronic stress. And we've talked throughout this series of messages of the impact and the repercussions of anxiety and depression on mental health. And one of the side effects often is an inability to be able to sleep. And so lack of sleep has become a major issue. There are more products that are coming out in order to be able to help people with sleep. And so here we have the issue of sleep. And the question I guess we have to ask ourselves is sleep a spiritual issue? Now, I know that sleep is an actual physical condition in the sense that there are diagnosable physical issues that can happen along with that. I'm living proof of that. I have two sleep disorder diagnoses. Number one, I have sleep apnea. And that means that, I often stop breathing when I'm sleeping. And so I'm on a CPAP machine in order to be able to deal with that. And so that is a diagnosable issue. I also have something called idiopathic hypersomnia, which I like saying it because it sounds makes me sound really, really smart. But all it means is that I have a disorder where I can fall asleep very, very easily. And so these are issues that I have to wrestle with. And so they are spiritual issues in the sense that they are things that I have to go through. And maybe you have a diagnosable or diagnosed sleep disorder. And it's a spiritual issue in the sense that it's a part of who you are. And you have to wrestle with that in a spiritual way as a spiritual individual. But sleep is also an issue that is talked about in Scripture. And from very early on in Scripture, there are some teachings on sleep and rest. Rest was a spiritual issue in the eyes of God. Well, why do you say that? Well, in the Ten Commandments, when God was laying down the framework of the things, these are the things that are really important as far as your relationship with God and people. This is really important. And what does it say? It says that, 6 days shall you labor, and on the seventh day you shall rest. And that it's and you were to focus on God. So it was worship and it was rest. And so here we have a significant tie-in to rest being a worship issue. And probably some of you are thinking, well, I worship in my sleep all the time. I worship St. Mattress. I'm sorry. Don't defriend me. Actually, I was thinking of another joke, too, that... Do you wake up grumpy or do you let him sleep? Okay, two really bad sleep jokes. Those were free. Those were free. But what we find in the Bible is that worship and rest are connected. And so from the very beginning, God saw that, number one, our rest and taking a break from our regular activities was important. And also tied with it was the idea of allowing God to be a part of that time when you rest. Now, another early mention of a truth around even the way God set up time. Now, when we set up, normally I think of that the day begins, even though I know it technically begins at midnight. For the most part, I think of my day starting, when I get up in the morning. And then you go through your day, and then at the end of the day, you go to sleep. Now, the Bible, when it's teaching about this, and this is from the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, talks about God creating the different things on the different days. And at the end of each day, he says, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. And so what this passage of Scripture, and I don't think I'd ever caught this before, it actually mentions more evening before it mentions morning. And that's significant in the sense that the end of the day, from our perspective, is really the beginning of the day. And that our sleep is a part of our first thing that we give to God so that we're prepared for the day. You know, and there's some important principles in Scripture. You know, it talks about don't go to bed angry, you know, because you don't want to begin your day with that anger in your life. And so you need to get rid of that before you go to sleep, because that's when your day is really beginning. And so here we have an important truth from Scripture when it talks about that the end was first, and that worship was to be our preparation, our worship and our sleep was to be our preparation for the day. I want to take a look at a passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture from Psalm 127, 1 and 2, because it gives some important teaching about sleep and our priorities in life. And this is what it says in Psalm 127, 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. And there's the sleep reference that God gives to his children, sleep. And so there are three principles that I want to pull out from this passage of Scripture. The number one first principle is that life is to be God-centered. Now in this passage of Scripture it says, unless the Lord builds the house. And what's he referring to? Is he actually referring to a physical building? It doesn't seem to. It seems to use the terms house and city to refer to your life and the people of God. That unless God is building and God is establishing those things, then the rest is a waste of time. And so here we have a very significant principle from the beginning, is that God is to be the center of everything. This is a first principle. And first principles cannot be ignored. And Scripture tells us that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And so God wants to build your life. That's a first principle. God is very interested in every aspect of our lives, but often in all the things that are going on in life, we forget the first principle, that God wants to be in charge of our lives. And we get doing our own little stuff here and there, and we miss this first principle. This is what it says in Isaiah 30:15. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. Another version of this says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. And God says, you need to quit your endeavors to try to win my favor and try to build your own life. Just come to me. What the Scripture also says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. And then it gives the promise, and I will give you rest. And so here we have Scripture telling us that it's in quietness, in rest, is where we find our true salvation, find our relationship with Christ. I love how the theologian Augustine said this way. He says, thou hast made us for thyself. That God has created us to be in a relationship with him. And then it says, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in thee. That unless the Lord builds the house, unless we come to him by faith, our hearts are going to be restless and we will never, ever find the true peace that we want to find. So the first principle can't be ignored. God wants to build your life. Principle two, life apart from principle one is futile. I don't know if that's a good way to put that, but it says, in vain you build it. And our activities are futile. It seems to repeat almost the same phrase over and over again, trying to get to the point. You're wasting your time. He says, those who build it labor in vain. That you're wasting your time and your efforts if you're trying to build it in your own strength. And then it goes on and it says, wasted energy. It says, unless the Lord watches over the city, like, you know, the group of us, you know, you can have all sorts of people trying to watch out, but it's not going to do any good. And he uses the phrase, you're awake in vain. And then it goes on, and we have futile activity. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. And sometimes that's what happens in life. We end up getting on a treadmill of activity because we got so many things that we're trying to do. And this is, you know, I think it's a perfect picture from the Word of God of what modern society looks like. It says, it is in vain that you rise up early and you go late to rest. You know, we get up early and we do all sorts of different activities, and then we keep going throughout the day until we finally reach the end of our day, and then we kind of crash and then we do it all over again. In vain we rise up early and we go late to rest. And then it finishes up with futile results. You eat the bread of anxious toil. Doesn't sound like a good dessert or breakfast. Anxious toil is what we're going to be eating. And so the Bible teaches that unless we allow God to build our lives, unless we rest ourselves in Him, unless we live according to His principles, the end result is that we will eat the bread of anxious toil, that we'll be filled with anxiety over all the things that are going on. And this is why sleep is such a significant spiritual issue, because many of us, our anxiety is showing as we try to rest. This is what it says in Ecclesiastes 3:15, kind of giving another picture of what it's like to live in modern society. Better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind. Our lives have become a chasing of the wind because we have tried to fill it with so much stuff and so much activity that we've missed the point of what God is trying to teach us. You know, and I think this is one of the principles that we need to learn in COVID time. Don't be in too much of a rush to get busy again, because when we get busy, we end up chasing the wind and we lose our peace. The third principle is this, that God gives rest. Scripture tells us that He gives to His beloved sleep. And this is a promise of God's Word. And you know, and I think God's promises, it says that they're yes and amen. And if we're suffering from sleep issues, this is probably one of the promises that we need to claim over and over again. God, You have promised that You give Your beloved sleep. Thank You, Jesus, that You give sleep. And we need to rest in that. And this is what the promise of God says in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You because he trusts in You. The Word of God tells us that our minds can be at rest and at ease in Him because our hearts put our trust in Him. And so we want to make sure that we are resting in Him and our minds are focused on Him. And I want to pull out three key ideas that I think can be helpful in this. The first one is that God is interested in doing a transforming work in our mind. And this comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 3, where it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And actually that promise goes on and it says that then you'll be able to discern what God's will is. And so God is very much interested in transforming our mind. At other points, it says that we need to have the mind of Christ. At other points, it tells us that we need to take our thoughts and make them captive and obedient to Christ. And so God is very interested in the battle that's going on in our mind. And so he wants us to take authority over the things in our mind. The Roman poet put it this way. He says, "Rule your mind or it will rule you." And so God wants us by his strength to rule over our minds. I love how the one author, Sally Kempton, said, "It is hard to fight an enemy who has outposts in your head." And sometimes that's what it feels like when you can't sleep, that the enemy's in your head and it's got outposts in your head. And so we need to allow God to shut those outposts down by his strength and his power working in our minds. And so we need to ask God to begin to do a transforming work. And how we do that is, number one, I think that we need to fill our minds with his word and his worship before we go to sleep. Take some time and read his word, maybe some encouraging passages of scripture. Get your mind, meditate on these things. Try that. You know, at Christmas time, I shared a message about how God woke me up with the same song for, an incredible amount of period of time. And in reflection after that, because eventually it came to a stop, that it didn't happen anymore. And I started to think of why that happened. And part of it was because I had been listening to that song almost on a daily basis. And it was because I was consistently putting these positive things into my mind that it would wake me up in the middle of the night. And so we need to, before we go to sleep, put some positive things in our minds to allow God to begin to transform the way that we think. That's why the scripture tells us to meditate and think on these things. Think on good things. Think on the positive things. Think of all the things that God is doing in your life. Reflect on those things. And another concept that I think is important is to lay it down specifically. And what I mean by that is that you need to, if you lay down, there are certain things, thoughts that are, you probably know which ones are going to enter into your mind. And so whether you journal them or you speak them, just say, "You know what, God, this is the thing that's concerning me right now. And I know that you got this. And so I'm just going to consciously right now lay this down at the foot of the cross and I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to write that down." And you might even think of some other action steps that goes along with that. Because sometimes we have so many things that are, and this is what always happens to me, is that those things that were, I had no peace about the day before are the things that are swirling around in my head as I try to sleep. And so if I lay those things down and I write them down and I even think of, I'm going to do this tomorrow in order to be able to deal with that. And so that I can say to my mind, "You know what? I got a plan for that. You don't need to be telling me I need to stay awake because tomorrow I got a plan for that. And so I don't need to worry about that." And so the second thing that we need to do, first we need to allow God to do some transforming work. And that's about loading our mind with the good things from God and worship music, his word, meditating on the good things of God. And the second thing we need to do is that we need to tune in. We need to tune in to God. Sometimes you need to seize the opportunity. This was actually one of the first thoughts that popped in my mind as I was thinking about this, is that sometimes God wakes us up at night for a very specific reason. And, maybe God is asking you to pray about some things, because sometimes when you can't sleep, I'm bad for this, that I just get frustrated because I want to sleep and I'll do this this backward countdown in my head. If I wake up at 3 and I have to get up at 5, I've got 2 hours, and then I look at the clock and it's like, now I got 1:45 hours left to sleep and I can't sleep. And, maybe God is asking me to tune in on something. And so maybe I need to seize that opportunity, whatever it might be. And instead of getting frustrated, just say, what is it, God? Is there something that I need to bring to you? Is there somebody that I need to pray for? and maybe make the best out of your adversity. And so sometimes God wants us to seize the opportunities. Well, if we're awake anyway, think about it, you know, and maybe God's calling you to do something. Number two, this is if you can't sleep, you know, count your blessings. Again, focusing on the good things. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You know, this is actually one of the, I thought it was very fascinating. I've done a little bit of reading on cognitive behavior therapy. And one of the ways that they tell you to deal with negative thoughts is by basically counting your blessings. They actually even tell you to put positive messages up all around you. And I think that that's a great idea, but we can use God's word and words of songs or whatever in order to be able to encourage us. And so, you know, if you're lying there, instead of counting sheep, count your blessings. And see if, you know, as we focus our minds on God, whether he will help us with that. And this is what it says in Psalm 63:6. David, I think David had some sleep issues. there's a couple references that he talks about being up and can't sleep. And this is what he says, "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night." So more than just counting his good things in his life, he actually focuses in on God. And he tries to focus his attention on what God, the good things about God, and to give him praise for who he is. And so David does this very well. And this is another, sometimes I think we need to tune in a little bit more. Now, I don't think I have ever had God speak to me in a dream. But in the Bible, there are some people that God did speak to in dreams. Most of the time, if I have a dream, it's usually because of the pizza that I ate too late at night or something like that. But the Bible says that in the end times, old men will dream dreams. And so sometimes I think, you know, we need to tune ourselves in to if there is anything that God's trying to speak to us, whether it be through a dream or just being attentive to his voice. God spoke to a young Samuel when he was lying in his bed, and his response was, "Speak, your servant is listening." And maybe we need to have that kind of attitude as we are trying to sleep. You know, speak, God. And so, whether it be a dream or an impression or an idea. You know, some of the best ideas I've ever had have come while I've been lying in bed. And you know what? I can't take any credit for those. I should give credit to God for speaking to me as I was trying to sleep. And the last one, and I'm hoping that this is kind of more the practical ideas of dealing with sleep issues, is, you know, there are some really simple things that we probably can do in order to be able to deal with sleepiness. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you want to lose weight, well, probably the key things are, you know, eat less bad foods and exercise. And chances are that works in some, not all cases, but some. And this is what David Allen says. He says, "The big problem is that your mind keeps reminding you of things when you can't do anything about them." And so oftentimes our minds, when we can't do anything, start thinking and swirling. We even do this. I do this when I'm awake. You know, I'll be at a meeting where I can't do anything about something else, and my mind is reminding me of those things. And it's worse when you're sleeping because you're trying to sleep and you can't do anything. And so you are you need to allow God into your thoughts. And so here's some practical help in order to be able to get through that. And we need to do the right things. You know, when it comes to our sleep stuff, there are some things that we should do. Number one, yeah, turn it off. You know, we binge watch too much TV. We stay up too late because of it. And so sometimes we just need to, at a certain point, that's when it goes off. Our electronics are a big problem as well. I just read a stat today about how much shopping we do in bed, which is funny if you think about it. You know, you're lying in bed and you're shopping while you're sitting in your bed. Welcome to the modern world. And so sometimes we just need to turn those things off. You know, maybe it's even keeping your electronics out of your bedroom so that you can sleep. And so that's a very practical way that you can do that. Sometimes it's watch what you eat and drink. You know, it was funny. I was talking with my brother the one time, and he said that, you know, two things that he can't do anymore. He can't have a coffee after 4 o'clock, and he can't eat anything after 8, or it's going to wreck his sleep. You know, and we have to understand ourselves and our bodies. And there might be some simple things that you need to keep an eye on. You know, you can't do the late night coffee. You can't do eating because it's just going to be, you're going to be a furnace all night long. And it's good to establish consistent patterns. Most sleep experts will say that you need to go to bed at a consistent manner or consistent time, get up at a consistent time. You know, and that consistency could help you as well. Another thing is that sometimes we need to get moving. You know, I talked in the Canadian website about being too still, that we don't do enough activity. And so we may need to go for more walks, get more exercise, do some things in order to be able to get ourselves moving, because in the long run, it's going to help us sleep. The Word of God tells us that God gives sleep to those who are beloved. But it talks about how we need to build our lives on the first principles of God. Because if we don't build on those first principles, all our other activities are going to be futile. And we're going to end up, as the scripture tells us, with eating anxiety and toil for breakfast. Yum! The breakfast of non-champions. Eating anxiety and toil. And so, the Word of God tells us, and this is a great promise from Psalm 4:8, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Sleep is a big issue. It can have all sorts of medical repercussions. You can also have all sorts of anxiety issues on top of it. But God says that there's a connection between sleep and living right with Him. And so let's try to as much as possible. Can I guarantee that you're going to have all your sleep issues are going to go away? No. No. But the Word of God does tell us that when our minds are set on Him, He places us in a position of perfect peace. And that sounds pretty good to me. And the Word of God tells us that in that quietness and in that stillness, that we know who God is, and that He speaks to our hearts and He speaks to our minds. We want to sing a song called Still, and it's based on that scripture passage from Psalm 46:10, where it says, be still and know that I am God. Because it's in the stillness and in the quietness and in the rest that we truly find God. And in a society that's built on busyness and running here, there, and everywhere, let's pull ourselves back to what God teaches about sleep and rest, and let's rest in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this great promise of Your Word that You give to Your beloved sleep. And Father, some who are listening this morning, they just need to know that in their hearts, that they're frustrated, that they're angry, they're tired, and that this promise seems so very, very far away, and it almost seems completely and utterly unattainable. But Father, Your Word tells us that we can rest in You, that You can transform our hearts and our minds, and that we can completely and utterly rest in You. And so, Father, I pray for each person who's watching me this morning, just to be able to rest in You in all things, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together. Well, I hope and I pray that we will be still and know that He is God. That we will be able to find rest in Him. That we will be able to cast all our cares on Him. For the Word of God tells us that He cares for us. And so let's rest in Him and let's claim the promises that He has in regards to sleep. But let's do the right things. Let's not just simply think that God's miraculously going to deal with things that you need to deal with. And so you need to decide to do your part as well. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. If you would like to be a part of our in-house service here, all you have to do is go to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. And you can register there and join in on the service. And so I pray that you would have a great and God-blessed week. Take care.
more, I will soar.